Prior to my retirement a few years ago, one task that I had to do every year was to set goals. I had to think about what was I going to accomplish over the next 12 months that would contribute to my company's success or to my own development as an employee. In later years, these goals were even tied to part of my compensation, so we were rewarded if we could accomplish those goals. But that was one of the most difficult requirements that I faced each year. What am I going to put on paper that will benefit my employer? Then I had to present these goals to my bosses to get their buy-in. Then each goal had to be broken down into steps with the date you would finish each step. Then you had to report to the boss how well you were progressing on the goals each month or quarter. I don't remember how many times that my goals slipped from view as other priorities slipped into my schedule. Then I would have to scramble to show how well I was doing. But in most cases, these goals were attainable. Well, each year, prior to taking the Passover, we examine ourselves to see if our lives are pleasing before God. During this examination, we often find areas where we still have sin. Sins of commission and sins of omission. Even during the year, we may read a scripture or hear a sermon, which makes us aware that we still have things we need to work on, things that we need to change. We are still sinning, missing the mark. But our human nature tends to put off action if it's not something we really want to do. Before long, that thought is replaced with something else in our lives, and a year later, we still have not overcome that particular sin. Unlike physical goals that we may set at work or personally and be able to attain systematically, spiritual goals can sometimes be murky and hard to measure. How can we truly overcome sin and know that we have overcome? So today, I will look at a strategy for setting spiritual goals and measuring how well we are overcoming. My title is Setting Spiritual Goals, and is largely based on an article in Forerunner magazine that was by the same title. First of all, we have to admit we have a problem. We have sin. You know, the first step is to realize that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's turn to Romans 3, verse 23. Very familiar scripture, Romans 3. Just verse 23 of Romans 3, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that is a human condition. But sin must be addressed, and we must struggle to put it out of our lives. There are some people that maybe think they don't sin, but, you know, that's contrary to Scripture. Let's look at 1 John 1:8. John 1:8. John wrote, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And to cover up your sins is a mistake. Let's look at Proverbs 28. Proverbs 28. Verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 13. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So God expects us to confess our sins. I wanted to look at four key words in this verse, cover, prosper, confesses, and forsakes. According to the Brown's Driver Briggs Hebrew Lexicon, the Hebrew word for cover is Kakah, K-A-C-A-H, which is number 3680 in Strong's. It means to cover, to conceal, to hide. Prosper is Salak, or 6743 in Strong's, and it means to advance, to prosper, to make progress, to succeed, to be profitable. And then confesses is YADAH 3034, which means to throw, to shoot, to cast, and by extension, to confess, or even in some usages, to praise. And then forsakes is Azab number 5800, to leave, to loose, to forsake, to let go. So these sins are something we don't want to cover if we expect to be successful in our Christian life. In other words, if we try to hide or ignore our faults, our chances for success in life are dim. If we admit them and put them behind us, we will find favor. We seek to confess them to God and to forsake them, to leave them behind, to go on to doing what is pleasing before God. And sin has a strange tenacity. If we do not deal with sin, it will never go away. It will fester, and it will come up later or manifest itself in a different form. Spiritually, if we are not honest with ourselves about our sins and shortcomings, we will not reach our full God-given potential. We are to examine ourselves through prayer and fasting and meditation. God will reveal our sins to us, but He cannot and will not force us to overcome. The decision is ours. We've got that free moral agency. We must see ourselves for what we are and have desire to make the conscious choice to change. Let's look at Philippians 2, verse 12 and 13. Philippians 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. So it's something to take very seriously, the overcoming of sin. After we have prayed, fasted, meditated, and examined ourselves, and had a sin revealed to us, what are we going to do? Well, we are, as we mentioned earlier, we are to confess our sins, to repent, and stop committing the sin. But sin, you know, you can have the best of intentions, but it's not always that easy to overcome. They sometimes, we think we've conquered them, but then they reappear later on. We are tested in that area and find ourselves not reacting to the test as God would want us to. So how do we overcome these persistent sins? You know, there is great reward for those who overcome. As John pointed out in the letters to the churches in Revelation 2 and 3, all but one of these churches had members who were sinning and had to be reminded of the rewards for overcoming. Let's look at Revelation 2 and 3. Just want to look at excerpts of a few verses there. You know, this, when you read through these two chapters, each of these churches had problems. They had sins, but they were encouraged. If you overcome these are the rewards that you can look forward to. The last part of Revelation 2, verse 7. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. So here we promise that we'll be able to eat from that tree of life. Down to verse 11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So here we're promised eternal life. Revelation 2, 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I'll give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written which no one knows except him who receives it. So that's an unusual promise, to eat of the hidden manna. What's the reference? I looked on that relate back to Exodus 16, 33, and 34, where it talks about the manna that was stored within the Ark of the Covenant. I believe that it refers to that. That we'll have a part of that, that manna, that life source from God. And then a white stone with a new name. A white stone shows forgiveness. There was, in the Jewish customs, was somebody was condemned, they got a black stone, a white stone showed that they were forgiven. And then on that stone will be this new name that we will possibly reflect the character we've developed from overcoming. Now on down to Revelation 2, verse 26. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him will I give power over the nations, in that promise that we will rule with Christ. And then Revelation 3, verse 5, he who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I'll not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Here we're shown to be clothed in white garments, and our name to be in the book of life, that new name. And then verse 12, Revelation 3:12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on him my new name. Again, that new name is mentioned, and that we're going to be a pillar in the temple of God, in God's kingdom. And then verse 21, Revelation 3:21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. So here we'll be granted to sit with Christ on his throne. Excuse me. We must set goals to overcome the sins we see in our lives. How can we do that? We must set a goal of overcoming specific sins. You know, if it's just general, we'll never really overcome. And many sins require conscious effort on our part. One thing in goal setting that say that every article I ever read on it, it must be put in writing. You know, and also to visualize what will our life look like. How will our thought processes change? You know, write down your vision of how you will be different. For instance, our goal might be to become more Christ-like. What does that mean? How does a Christ-like person behave? You know, we may need to study the Gospels to refresh what Christ was really like. Go read through a harmony of the Gospels here before the Passover. Be a good way to reflect on what did Christ show us in the Gospels? You know, some sins may not take this much analysis. We may just have to turn away and avoid something that we're doing that's wrong, or someone, and sometimes, who is contributing to the sin. But other sins could be more ingrained and harder to overcome. We may need to break it down using goal attainment methodologies. Think about the what, the where, the when. And how will I overcome this specific sin? You know, in business planning, executives and managers are encouraged to use a systematic method of goal setting. One of those methods is called the SMART method, S-M-A-R-T. And that's kind of still in our brain, each of the steps. The S in SMART stands for specific. Goals must be broken down into specific and smaller parts if we are to have any hope of reaching the goal. For example, becoming Christ-like, a goal of all who have been called by God, typically takes a lifetime. Very few will overcome every sin and weakness that is not Christ-like in a very short time after baptism. So as to identify the various components of a person who is Christ-like, we can take just one of those components and establish a specific goal for overcoming. For instance, We can narrow our aim to Paul's admonition in Colossians 4:6. Let's turn there, Colossians 4:6. Colossians 4:6, our speech. It gets me in trouble all the time, it's my speech. It says, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. This is how Christ spoke, but how many of us find it a huge undertaking to always speak with grace, seasoned with salt? But we can break that down further if we have a problem with negativity in our speech, a tendency to criticize or make unflattering remarks about others. How many times have we heard a sermon, have heard sermons on this topic, but still may still be struggling with how we talk about others? So a goal could be to stop speaking negatively about others. So that's very specific. The M in SMART stands for measurable. What standard can we employ to measure our progress? You know, Christ is our standard. How he taught us, how he exemplified how to live as a Christian. You know, Ephesians 4:13. Ephesians 4:13. Started in 11, verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we want to be. Reach. A perfect man has the fullness of Christ. Of course, this is a very high standard. We must continue to pray about the sin we are seeking to overcome. We must endure. We are unable to overcome many sins without the power of God's Spirit. But to know if we were truly overcoming, the goal must be measurable. If it is not measurable, A, it is hard to know when we have achieved it. And it makes it too easy to give up and become discouraged. In our example goal to stop speaking negatively about others, we might set as our standard based on Matthew 7:12. And something that we all know, but don't always apply it as we should. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets, to not do to others what you wouldn't want them to do for you. Do unto others you have them do unto you, that golden rule. You know, we don't like others to speak negatively about us, so we shouldn't speak negatively about them. And to go the opposite way, you must learn to speak positively about others. We can measure that. Write down every time when you have refrained from speaking negatively and spoken positively about someone else. That's one way that you can measure that. In the long run, if you keep speaking positively about others, your relationship should start to improve. That is another element that is measurable. It won't happen overnight. But over the months and years, our relationships should become better, even to the point that those who we were once at odds with are now our friends. One of the members this morning was telling me that he punched his boss out, and the boss, though, didn't fire him on the spot. And now, many years later, he's good friends with his boss. Boss wants to take care of him, make sure he's cared for, and so it is. After conversion, we ought to see that happening. People that maybe we are great odds off, they're now our friends, and that is really the ultimate measurement of overcoming in building relationships. This may not be apparent unless we periodically go back to our written goal and to our measurements to see the progress that has been made with God's help. The A in SMART stands for action. Nothing will be accomplished on our goal if we never do anything about it. How can we make a plan of action to overcome? Look at Proverbs 20:18. Proverbs 20:18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. So every purpose, which means plan, is established by counsel. So it takes planning. As we seek to overcome sin, we must remember we are at war. We are engaged in a spiritual war with Satan and the world. An obvious action item in our plan would be to replace negative talk with positive, uplifting words. This may not come natural, but if we strive to say something complimentary but true to everyone with whom we can converse on a given day or in a certain week, we can begin to practice overcoming negativity. It can be something as simple as complimenting an item of clothing, nice dress, nice tie. Another way would be to think ahead and write down how we will respond the next time we encounter a specific situation where we have sinned in our response in the past. We should be honest about why we respond to them as we do and consider if our response is truly justified. Then we need to have a strategy about how we will react differently the next time we encounter such an instance or person. Proverbs 27:17, about iron sharpening iron. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. If we take action by planning to respond more positively, our character will eventually be sharpened by our friends and acquaintances. We make progress toward our goal. The R in SMART stands for review. You know, we sometimes have to keep reminding ourselves what this goal, keep reviewing it, thinking about it, meditating on it. Let's look over to Proverbs 29:19. Proverbs 29:19. A servant will not be corrected by mere words, for though he understands, he will not respond. You know, many times giving instructions just once is not enough. Repetition is the best form of emphasis. A student or an employee may not understand a concept or process after the first time he hears it, but he probably grasps it more fully after a review or two. And I'm that way. Sometimes I don't get it the first time. Sometimes the second or third time. Maybe I get it then, you know, what I need to do. In the context of setting and working toward a spiritual goal, even though we have put our goal into words and have written it down, we must review our plan often or we will forget it. You know, the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. In our example, because we have recorded specific incidents of speaking negatively of others, it should be easy to review our plan and make any necessary adjustments. We should all be able to recognize increased incidents of more positive speech and resulting better relationships. A journal or diary in which we write down about our successes and failures in attaining our goals provides a valuable resource in reviewing progress. And depending on the goal and the degree of struggle we have, we may want to review our goals biweekly, or in some cases even daily. This review must be scheduled when we can quietly and prayerfully review our spiritual goals. This will help keep the goals in the forefront of our minds. The T in SMART stands for time. It's human nature to procrastinate. We can find every reason in the world to put off overcoming. For this reason, a goal cannot be open-ended. How many times have we told ourselves that we need to overcome a particular sin, but we leave it open-ended? I'm going to overcome that someday. Not today, someday. When we do, that weakness goes on year after year in some cases and is never overcome. You know, sometimes I'm amazed you, somebody you haven't seen for, like, went to school with, I haven't seen for 30 and 40 years. But we don't change a whole lot. Our, you know, basic personalities stay the same. And sometimes if you have some negative aspects to your personality, it's those are the things that are most hard to overcome because they're just so hardwired into our heads. The Apostle Paul warned us against this in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Let's turn there. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And that's even more true today than when this was written 2,000 years ago. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Circumspectly means carefully considering all circumstances and possible consequences, which applies directly to overcoming. Since we are living in spiritually treacherous times and our days are limited, it's best to work on our goals promptly and persistently. We must be patient with ourselves. We would like to overcome sin instantly, like flicking off a light switch, but that's not realistic. Most sins are going to take time to overcome, especially when we delve into the areas we constantly struggle with. The spiritual goal, then, must not only be time-bound, but the time period must also be realistic. If not, we will end up dragging our feet or giving up altogether. So we need to give ourselves a reasonable amount of time to accomplish each goal we set. In our example, we could say, in 30 days, I want my speech to be filled with positive and uplifting comments about others. Setting a deadline helps to motivate us. When I used to set goals at work, we always had to set a deadline for completion of the goal. This, along with periodic review, helped keep the goal at the front of my mind. I've not always been disciplined in applying the SMART principle to spiritual overcoming in the past. I have not been as diligent to set goals toward overcoming in my spiritual life as in my physical life, because I had somebody pushing me to do that. So this year, join me in taking those sins that we have struggled with maybe our whole lives or for many years and systematically overcome them. The rewards for overcoming are too great to miss out. God the Father and Jesus Christ have promised to ensure our achievement of our spiritual goals. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. We're not alone in this process. We can't do it by our own power. We have access to the help and guidance of the greatest power in the universe to accomplish our spiritual goals. Be sure to take advantage of it.